I will now pass it over to Jennifer Hanna, who will open today's call.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining today. I am Jennifer Hanna, Director of the National Healthcare Preparedness Programs Branch, and it's my pleasure to be with all of you today as we discuss the HPP Cooperative Agreement FY 2023 BP5 Non-Competing Continuation Guidance. Next slide, please. During today's call, I will provide an overview of the continuation guidance application instructions. Afterwards, Angela Kretzinger and David Sternak will provide an overview of the supplemental materials. Then I'll open the floor for a Q&A. During the Q&A, Virginia Simmons, ASPR's Chief Grants Management Officer, will be available to respond to grants management questions. Please feel free to ask questions in the chat box throughout the presentation on the specific sections we are covering, and we will respond to them during the Q&A. Next slide, please. I'll begin with an overview of the continuation guidance application packet and submission information. Next slide, please. Only recipients that previously were awarded under the FY 2019 through FY 2023 HPP Cooperative Agreement are eligible to apply for the continuation of funds. The continuation of funds is for the fiscal year 2023 budget period 5, which begins on July 1st, 2023 and ends June 30th, 2024. Applications must be submitted electronically via grantsolutions.gov by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on April 14th, 2023. Continued funding is subject to the availability of funds and satisfactory progress. Supplemental materials, including documents and templates for some of the required attachments, are provided in the Performs Resource Library. The supplemental materials include the Healthcare Coalition scope of work, and the use of the ASPR template is optional. However, please ensure that all the requested information is included if you use another format. In lieu of the scope of work template, you may submit the final draft annual Healthcare Coalition work plan. There is a recipient and Healthcare Coalition work plan checklist. Also new this year are a specialty search annex and exercise template for recipients to send to the healthcare coalitions to complete to help you compile the information for the new healthcare coalition specialty search annex and tabletop exercise summary table. Next slide, please. In order to be eligible for a FY 2023 budget period 5 HPP continuation award, all recipients must submit the documents on this screen through grantsolutions.gov. Additionally, it is optional to attach the following to your application if applicable. And those include the bona fide agent status documentation, the recipient level direct cost waiver request. And I just want to take a moment to provide additional details regarding the recipient level direct cost waiver request or exemption request. Recipients this year may retain direct costs for the management and monitoring of the HPP Cooperative Agreement. By the end of FY 2023 budget period 5, recipients should limit these costs to no more than 15% of the HPP Cooperative Agreement award. You should note for FY 2023 budget period 5, recipients may deduct the cost of travel for a maximum of 2 recipient personnel for each mandatory meeting when calculating their final RLDC. And you can see page 13 of the continuation guidance for a list of those meetings that ASPR considers mandatory. Request for the RLDC exemption. ASPR will consider requests for the exemptions of the 15% RLDC on a case-by-case basis. Requests for exemption must be submitted annually with the application in Grant Solutions in the format of a letter to the HPP programmatic point of contact. And you can please see that contact information at the end of the continuation guidance. And the requirements for the letter are outlined in the continuation guidance on pages 9 and 10. Also, in addition to those that packet of optional application contents, if applicable, are the isolated hospital classification requests, as well as the inventory management program protocol, and that applies to both recipients as well as healthcare coalitions. Next slide, please. So next, I'll review some of the requirements for the FY 2023 Budget Period 5 continuation application. Please note that we're not going to cover all of the requirements that were included within the continuation guidance. Wanted to let you know as well, we heard you last year that you wanted to be able to find the requirements all in one place. So you'll see that there are requirements that are required for all 5 years. We're not going to cover those today, but we'll certainly be covering those that are new and any clarifications that were outlined for budget period 5. Next slide, please. Shown on this slide are the benchmarks, and these are withholding benchmarks. So you want to pay particular attention to those and make sure that you are addressing those requirements and meeting those benchmarks because they do impact potentially withholding of funding there. And you can see on the slide that we've made some changes regarding the benchmarks. I want to first call your attention to benchmark 2, which was for the submission of quarterly federal financial reports. That benchmark has been discontinued since the way that that information is being collected has changed. So benchmark 2 no longer applies. Again, benchmark 3, the submission of the Joint Multi-Year Integration Preparedness Plan, formerly known as the MITEP, is waived. Benchmark 7, as previously in other continuation guidance documents, we noted that the Healthcare Coalition annual work plan is the only requirement. The training plan is waived. For benchmark 8, essential elements of information, that is still suspended until further notice. And the change that was implemented last year was the completion of the annual medical response and surge exercise, which is benchmark 9. For the pandemic influenza planning submission, we do not expect you to submit an updated pandemic influenza plan. We will collect that information as a part of your normal performance measures in order to meet that particular benchmark. Next slide, please. Pages 18 through 47 in the continuation guidance provide an overview of Appendix A, which includes the 2019 through 2023 HPP funding opportunity announcement, application requirements and capabilities, objectives and activities. Please note that all FY 2023 BP5 requirements are included and reflect the most current information. Appendix A includes a variety of requirements, which are summarized on this slide. The requirements include completion of the MERCY in place of the Healthcare Coalition Surge Estimator tool, incorporating and validating the Crisis Standards of Care CONOPS plan in a Healthcare Coalition exercise, and validating the specialty surge annexes. Next slide, please. So I want to take a moment to flag the following requirements that are included in the FY 2023 Budget Period 5 continuation application instructions that are due in the upcoming budget period. Keeping in mind, that is in addition to those requirements that were in place for all five years, but these are specifically focused on Budget Period 5. A requirement is to complete a jurisdictional risk assessment by the end of the project period, if you haven't already completed that. Participation in the NDMS patient movement exercise at least once during the project period. And I believe that you can just keep going through these slides. Conducting a joint statewide exercise during the project period to test progress toward achieving the capabilities outlined in the 2017-2022 healthcare preparedness and response capabilities, and also the FEP capabilities, national standards for state, local, tribal, and territorial public health. Also incorporating and validating the CSC CONOPS plan in an Healthcare Coalition level exercise, completing the Healthcare Coalition search estimator tool. The MERCY exercise planning and evaluation tool will be amended to contain the surge estimator tool. Completing the chemical emergency surge annex. Then on the subsequent slides, just pointing out and highlighting about completing the validation of the pediatric surge annex, radiation emergency surge annex, chemical emergency surge annex, burn care surge annex, and infectious disease preparedness surge annex via a standardized tabletop or discussion exercise format by the end of the project period. So for Appendix C, the U.S. territories, freely associated states, and isolated frontier hospitals should refer to pages 848 through 56 of the continuation guidance for Appendix C modifications. Although these recipients are encouraged to address all HPP activities outlined in the HPP funding opportunity announcement, including the use of healthcare coalitions for coordinating healthcare situational awareness, planning, training, and exercising, they may require the flexibility to focus their planning, training, and exercise activities at the healthcare facility. Next slide, please. Before I turn it over to Dave and Angela, I have been seeing some of the comments about slowing down the slides, and we'll certainly be able to go back to any of those that you may want to review or see again. Once we get to the Q&A, we can certainly go back. And also just a reminder that we will be sharing a copy of the slides with all of you. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Cernak and Angela Kretzinger to cover the cooperative agreement supplemental materials.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to briefly kind of roll through the four supplemental materials that Jennifer discussed earlier on in the presentation. The first one we're going to take a brief look at here is the optional HCC subrecipient scope of work template. This is a template that we have provided in previous years. This year we updated it to include the additional tabletop exercise for BP5, as well as updated the rest of the requirements for coalitions to align with the BP5 requirements. This template is not required. It is an optional template for you to utilize to build your scope of work for coalitions, and it is currently available in the Performance Resource Library. If you would like a copy of it, you can either download it there or your FPO can send it to you via email. Next slide, please. All right, the new tool that we put together this year is the HCC Specialty Surge Annex and Tabletop Exercise Summary. This is something we put together in order to allow the coalitions to review the current status of each of their specialty surge annexes, the completion of each of their tabletop associated tabletop exercises, as well as the status of the CONOPS, the Crisis Standards of Care CONOPS validation exercise. The intent here is to make sure that as we're going into the final budget period, that as the recipient, you're fully tracking, everybody's well aware of the current status of each coalition with the completion of these individual requirements. Because over this project period, thanks to COVID, there have been a lot of flexibilities put into place and the changing of deadlines. So we want to make sure everybody is tracking exactly what still is outstanding and what needs to be completed by the end of BP5. We have actually two separate tools associated with this. The first one I'll look at is the one on the right-hand side of your screen. It's an Excel spreadsheet. This is the template summary that you're going to be uploading with your application as well as in Performs. This one here will allow you to list out multiple coalitions, one after another, in order to only have to upload one document that contains the summary for all of your coalitions combined. On the left-hand side of your screen, you see what is a Word document, and this is kind of a single coalition summary. This is something that we decided to provide as well to kind of allow you to just send this out to your coalitions, have each coalition fill it out, complete it, submit back the information to you if needed. And then that way, then you can take that and compile all that information onto the Excel spreadsheet. What we don't want you to have to do is upload multiple documents for this one requirement. So the Word document is to hopefully help aid you in collecting all the current information. And then you, once you complete the Excel spreadsheet, which is the combined report, you'll just have to upload that with your application package. Okay, next slide, please. All right. The FY 2023 BP5 recipient and HCC work plan development checklist is in the continuation application instructions are posted in the Performs Resource Library. We highly encourage all recipients and healthcare coalitions to carefully review the checklist and verify each requirement is clearly identified in their respective work plans and budgets. The checklist should also be utilized to verify all healthcare coalition requirements are clearly identified in the healthcare coalition scope of work or the draft annual healthcare coalition work plan. If you have any questions regarding the work plan development checklist, please contact your assigned FPO for additional assistance. Additionally, we urge the recipients to be detailed in your budget justifications and remind you that anything in the budget must be tied to an activity in your work plan. And budget planning numbers were released with the FY 2023 BP5 continuation guidance instructions. These planning numbers are based on the FY 2022 annual appropriation, and the final funding allocation amounts will be released later. Next slide, please. And here is a screenshot of the updated HPP budget and work plan development checklist. We did update this as well for this year. We reviewed a list of not only all the current requirements, but we also put in for recipients. There are a few program administration notes towards the end of the checklist. And then for the coalition, there's a budgetary note at the end of their checklist. One of the things that we did update for this year is we went through and associated each line item for you by capability, objective, and activity, and then put the entire list in order from basically start to finish to hopefully make it easier for you as you sit down in Performs and go through your work plan building process, that you can start from the top, select your capability, select the activity, or select the objective, select the activity, and then add that right into your work plan and then check that item off of your list. Once you get through that entire list, you know, obviously you're free to go back and make any additional adds to your work plan, but this way, by trying to put it in order and associating it exactly to which activity it needs to go to, hopefully that'll make your lives a little easier as you build and include these required activities in your work plan. This is also a checklist that the FPOs are going to utilize as they review, conduct your application reviews. So by going through and utilizing this should hopefully reduce any potential discrepancies or missing activities from your work plan. All right. And with all that said, I'll turn it back over to Megan.
Great. Thank you so much, Dave. So with that, we'll go
Dave ahead. And Megan, before we jump back in, there were just a few questions in the comment box that I'd like to try to cover very briefly. These documents are available in the Performs Resource Library. And the question had come up about, are they all required? And no, they are not. These are templates to make it easier for you. The checklist is available there to make it easier for HCC's recipients as you're doing your application and developing your work plans and scope of works. The scope of work is, of course, required for each HCC. And if the HCCs have the same scope of work, you only need to submit one scope of work. But if they're doing different activities, then of course, they will need to be different for each of the HCCs. And then the questions had come in several times in the chat asking about the specialty surge annex and tabletop exercise summary. Yes, it is required to be submitted with the BP5 application. However, for those recipients that are already aware of what your HCCs have accomplished the secondary form that is HCC specific, you'll already have that information, so you wouldn't need to send that out to your HCCs to gather the information. So I just wanted to address all those questions very briefly, well, before we went on to the next section. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Angela. So with that, I think we'll move into our Q&A portion. We'll go ahead and open the line as well as the chat for questions. As a reminder, feel free to submit questions or raise your hand and ask a question verbally. I know we have some already in the chat. So Jennifer, we'll start at the top. There was a question about, I believe, the crisis standards of care exercise, and it was for the crisis standards of care exercise requirement. Is there any clarification if the response to COVID-19 will fulfill that requirement?
Thanks for that question. And we have, you know, carefully considered that question. It's been asked a number of times on prior meetings. So our recommendation is that the recipient should work with your FPO to determine your eligibility for using COVID as to meet that exercise requirement. Because the crisis standards of care is managed at the state level, there must have been a formal activation of crisis standards of care based on the requirements and triggers that are identified in the CONOPS. Also, the state and at least one healthcare coalition must have evaluated the effectiveness of their crisis standards of care CONOPS during and after the activation and documented their findings in an AAR and improvement plan, and a list of the crisis standards of care elements that are required to be incorporated and validated in the healthcare coalition level exercise are outlined in Appendix A.
Wonderful, thank you. Going through the chat here, I think most of these questions had been addressed by Angela's comments. Looks like if there's anything else, please feel free to submit that in the chat or raise your hand.
Megan, this is Virginia. There was a question, I'm reading it from Walter James. James Walter, will there be the possibility to apply for a no-cost extension at the end of BP5 in order to carry over some funds into the next project period? May I answer that question now?
Yes, please go ahead.
So to everyone, and thank you, James, very good question. Definitely there will be some time, there'll be available time for anyone who's interested in requesting a no-cost extension. Typically, we ask for at least 90 days, but you know we are flexible. So at least no less than 30 days prior to the end of your project period, if you find that you need a no-cost extension, by all means, please do reach out to the grants office and also your assigned project officers as well to request prior approval for a no-cost extension. And please be mindful that the purpose of no-cost extensions typically are not to allow you to carry over funds, but typically the purpose of a no-cost extension is to allow recipients to continue any work that they need, that they deem needs to be finished or has not been completed. And so the no-cost extension instructions will provide you guidance on how to develop your prior approval request. And of course, the final objective, of course, is for you to carry over funds. Absolutely. I just wanted to just clarify that. Typically, is the no-cost extension is for the purpose of continuing your project period for any necessary work that you need to finish, and you'll need to justify that in your prior approval request. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Virginia. And it looks like a few more questions had come in the chat, I believe. Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong, for the HPP FEP waiver, I believe that had already been answered previously in the chat.
I believe so.
And it looks like we have a hand up from Valerie Dempsey.
Hi, this is Valerie. So I have a question. When looking at that specialty surge annex summary table, I believe it's the Word version, say looking at the first one, pediatrics, it was due BP1. So the annex is complete, say yes, the date. Now, if they finished this or accomplished this in year one, but it's been revised since, what date do you want on there?
Dave, do you want to respond to that question?
Sure. Whichever date you feel is most appropriate. If you updated it, then you can put the most current date that is on there. I mean, this is
the fact that it's been completed is the original date. You should probably put the original date because that gives exactly when you did it the first time. And many of these will be revised as things are happening. For example, with pediatric surge, with the recent RSV outbreaks that we had experienced, many folks have updated their pediatric surge annex. However, they accomplished it when it was due in budget period one. And as we hadn't had the flexibilities at that time, just want to make sure that folks are counting, giving themselves credit for when they originally accomplished it and not just for revisions.
Okay, so we could put that date, and then if where it says included in work plan, and then it only gives you the option of BP 4 and 5.
That's only for those items that had not been completed yet. So
okay.
If you completed the pediatric surge annex in BP 1, then that's all you need.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you. And another question that came through the chat, I don't believe that's been answered. Is the preparedness plan still an HPP requirement, or has it been truly archived?
The preparedness plan is still a 5-year requirement. You don't have to submit a new one. However, you should be revisiting and updating it as needed throughout the entire 5-year project period.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on to a couple other questions. What is the purpose of the BP4 work plan not being pre-populated into the BP5 application?
ASFR made a decision that we would only populate the budget information because we wanted to make sure that we received as accurate as information as possible for budget period 5 for the work plan.
Great, thank you so much. Moving to the next question, page 33, this is from James Moss. Page 33, as I read, this HPP funds can be used to fund or support MRC deployed to hospitals for staffing shortages. And then goes on, I believe, to state that language. And I don't believe there's a question there. Was that just supporting another one?
Hey, this is James, sorry. That's always been a question, and it's been raised by our leadership at the state level because that's going to present some issues and some unique challenges. So just wanted to get some clarification on that. If in fact HPP funds could be used to fund and support MRC volunteers to our acute care hospitals.
For clarification, James, would that be, are you asking in a response?
Yes.
Okay, just a reminder that if for any funds that you would like to expand for response, that does require prior approval for using those HPP funds. So we're not saying no, that you can't use the HPP funds in order to support Medical Reserve Corps, keeping in mind that the Medical Reserve Corps or any other type of volunteers would have to be to support healthcare activities. But if you're if the context is within a response, that anytime that you use the HPP funds, you do for a response that you do need to request prior approval.
And I believe the rest of the questions in the chat had been covered by Angela and Jennifer.
Megan, this is Virginia again. I noticed a question. It looks like a follow-up to my response regarding no-cost extensions. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow here. I'm trying to pull it up. Someone asked, Miss Melissa Dunkerson has asked, so here's a question. NCE FEP is not allowing any BP5 NCE or no cost extensions since this is the end of the 5-year period. I am confused why this is different information than what we received from the CDC. So everyone, HHS agencies reserve the discretion to allow for no cost extensions based on their individual requirements. ASPR cannot speak for CDC, but at this time, ASPR has no limitations on submission for a prior approval of no cost extensions for consideration of approval. But please be mindful, the no cost extensions are not an automatic. That's why the prior approval is required, and approval is granted on a case-by-case basis. So I hope that answers your question. If not, please let me know or send an email for further clarification if necessary. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Virginia. Looks like we have a hand raised from Michelle Hale.
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to clarify this JRA requirement. I was under the impression that the JRA was primarily led out by local health departments as a FEP deliverable and that HPP collaborates with that. So if FEP is waiving this requirement to the next project period, I still don't understand why ASPR wouldn't align with that. Do they expect the healthcare coalitions to lead out with this effort to wrap up this requirement for this project period?
Michelle, yeah, right now we are not waiving it, but we will have a conversation with our FEP colleagues and follow up.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And I believe we have another question here, Virginia.
Yes.
There's a couple follow-up questions related to carryover. One
was,
I'll let you go ahead.
I was in the process of sending it through the chat. I'll be more than happy to respond to that question. So again, if any recipient requests a prior approval for a no-cost extension and then is so then therefore granted one, and what typically happens is that you have the option upon your prior approval request to request up to and no more than 12 months for no cost extension. It could be no more than 12 months, but again, up to 12 months. And within that time frame of that no cost extension, if you find that you need to carry over funds, unexpended funds from a previous awarded year, just like any other time within that project period, you will be required to submit a prior approval request. And your request for your prior approval request for a carryover will be a process just like it would within any normal year of your project period. It will be reviewed for consideration and appropriate justification to authorize you to utilize those unobligated funds within that extension period, time period. So absolutely. And again, it's not a guarantee, but you do have the option of submitting a prior approval carryover request within that extended time period. Thank you.
Virginia, just for clarification, mm-hmm. That is for no cost extension, not a carryover, correct?
Well, just to clarify, if the recipient was granted a no-cost extension per the submission of their prior approval request for the no-cost extension, if that was awarded to them, and it is awarded within up to 12 months, within that time period of that no-cost extension, if they happen to find that they need to carry over funds from the previous award years, they may submit a prior approval request for a carryover of said funds, said unobligated funds within that 5-year time period. Because again, the no-cost extension is just an extension of that 5-year period. But as I mentioned earlier, because typically recipients may want to request a no-cost extension so that they can carry over funds within that last year from previous years. But we always emphasize that we do not award no-cost extensions to allow recipient to carry over unexpended funds. The purpose of a no-cost extension is to allow the recipient, the organization, to continue critical program activities that they were not able to do so within that 5-year period. But again, just for re-emphasis, if you happen to be awarded that no-cost extension and you find that you need to carry over funds from that 5-year period, you may submit a prior approval request for carryover. That has happened, that often happens, and we will review it for approval. And again, it's normal. It's typical. It often happens.
Thanks for that.
I hope that was helpful.
Thanks for that additional clarification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think to put a finer point on that as well, just a reminder, as Virginia has stated, you know, also with a no-cost extension, you are not allowed to do new work. It has to be work that you did not complete during the project period. So no new work is allowable under that no cost extension as well.
It looks like everything else coming through the chat is right now just comments and feedback. So please feel free to submit any additional questions or raise your hand.
Ms. Kinson, she mentioned we prefer a no-cost extension to a carryover, so there is no gap in funding or contracts. And just to clarify, I know I've pretty much clarified, but just there, so with a no-cost extension, again, it's just extending the project period up to 12 months, so you can continue your the project activity within the scope of the approved award. And again, the carryover option, that's provided with a prior approval request. And it's a way to move unobligated funds from that 5-year period into that extended time period. And it would not be, there would be no gap whatsoever with the no-cost extension. It's just, again, a time period added on to that 5-year period of performance.
Megan, I believe we received a question here from Bobby Ben. It says, are you expecting to see a large increase in cost to offset price increases that have occurred over the last year? Bobby, are you able to provide us with some additional context for that question?
Yeah, I mean, as we look at our cost, I'm an HCC side of the house. So as we look at all of our supply costs, everything we do every day, cost of living wise, has gone up substantially. And part of my grant program, of course, is everything from salary dollars to supply costs and everything else, travel costs, everything. All those prices, you know, last year we were held at level from the previous year. So from BP3 to BP4, we saw a zero cost increase allowed. Are we expecting to try to hold that same thing again this year? Or are we going to see a cost of living increase allowed to offset some of these costs that we're seeing?
Thanks for that additional context. And if I understand you correctly, Bobby, you're from a healthcare coalition. So I think certainly you will need to be working closely with your recipient in order to have that discussion with them about increasing the cost regarding additional funding for the healthcare coalition. ASPR does not determine the funding level for the healthcare coalitions for the recipients. That is something that will be worked through with the healthcare coalitions and the recipients.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Megan.
No, go ahead.
Step over you. Teresa, I see your hand raised. Please feel free to come off mute and ask your question live.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks. Quick question about the disposition of equipment. Now that it's the end of a 5-year, I didn't see anything specifically mentioned in the NOFO, but if there's any additional information ASPR can provide with regard to disposition of equipment. I know there is some old product we'd like to request disposition on.
No, that's a great question. And as you noted, I think in our reporting requirements section within our continuation guidance, we stated that we will be providing some additional information regarding closeout, and that certainly would be included in that. I don't know if Virginia has anything that she wants to, any comments that she wants to provide in response to that question.
Not at this time, unless you want to ask me something more specific, but absolutely, we can definitely provide more information on the closeout.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Teresa. And I see that Bonnie Bailey had a comment regarding that question. But we certainly will be providing additional information regarding closeout. So that will be forthcoming.
Yes, and I will, yes, Bailey, I will definitely give some updated information on disposition of equipment, not a problem. And I will also cite the regulations as well. So I'll just speak, probably go into a little bit more details in the regulation in terms of disposition of equipment. And I'll cite the regulations.
Thank you, Virginia. And thanks everyone for continuing to put comments and questions in the chat. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to enter them into the chat and we'll do our best to respond to those, or you can raise your hand and ask those questions live. We'll pause for a moment for anyone that may be still typing.
Jennifer, I'm providing the information now in the chat for everyone. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, okay. Virginia.
Okay, thank you. Just a second.
While Virginia is typing, please feel free to continue to ask any questions that you may have. A reminder again, if you have any questions, please feel free to submit them in the chat or to raise your hand. I know we are pausing for a moment while Virginia is entering the information. We have a question here from Kelly Nadu, echoing the Healthcare Coalition's question about increases in funding. Do you anticipate increases in funding levels to the awardees for increases to Healthcare Coalitions? And Kelly, that's a good question. I'll have to answer it a little bit broadly. As you know, the appropriation, the FY 2023 appropriation, I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to share this with this group previously, but the FY 2023 appropriation was increased this year, and the cooperative agreement funding, total cooperative agreement funding, will be increased from $231.5 million to $240 million. We are currently working on updating and refreshing the data for our funding formula at this time, and we will be providing those final award amounts later. So there is an increase of $8.5 million for the HPP cooperative agreement for FY 2023. As stated earlier, you know, the funding level is always subject to the availability of funding, and also is very dependent upon, you know, the appropriated amount that we receive for the program and our other cooperative agreements as well. But there is an increase this year from $231.5 million to $240 million. Sure. Thanks for that. Thanks for your question, Roseanne, regarding the performs. Performs is showing a date of April 30. So the interim submission date, very much like we did last year, the interim submission date right now is April 14th of this year, 2023. That's when you need to submit your all of your forms, as well as your work plan and all the documents that we identified as part of the application packet and in grant solution. Currently, the deadline in performs is set out to April 30, because we will be leaving the application module open until we have those final numbers, so that you can update your work plans and budgets accordingly without us having to reopen the application module. However, in the interim, that April 14th date does stand for you to go ahead and submit your initial applications in grant solutions using those planning numbers, unless we have the final numbers before it's time to submit the application. So the date is kind of an artificial date in performs, because we are leaving it open, leaving the application module open until those final numbers are available, so that you won't have to have us to reopen the application module for you to update any your budget or any work plan activities. The submit button will be grayed out until we have the final numbers and until you're able to submit that final application into performs. Of course, if we find that the numbers come in later, the final numbers, then of course you will then also, you know, upload and probably adjust the submission information and documents within Grant Solutions as well. But those will be uploaded as a grant note. So the application deadline is April 14th, 2023, and you should be submitting your application materials and Grant Solutions on that date. And Virginia has entered the information there regarding the disposal of equipment. Question here from Roseanne Pratt is that she may have missed it, but has the formal and final FOA been released, or should we use the drafted version distributed? So that informal document was the official document as well. And also it was uploaded as a part of the non-competing continuation kit in Grant Solutions. We have about 7 minutes left before the top of the hour. Please feel free to continue to submit any questions and comments that you may have within the chat, or of course, be able to raise your hand and you can answer your question live. I got a question that came in. How much time shall we have after you confirm the final numbers to submit the final application? It really is going to be dependent upon the timing of when we will have the final numbers. I mean, our goal, of course, is to have those final numbers before you have to submit the application on April 14th. But that is dependent upon us, completing the inputs to the funding formula, running the funding tables, and also obtaining the ASPR's approval of the final funding table before we can release those numbers. So it is going to be really dependent upon the timing of when we have the final numbers to determine what the timeline will be between receiving those numbers and submitting the final application. I'm not seeing any questions, any additional questions. I think we can go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Certainly want to thank Deja for participating on the call and providing the overview of the supplemental materials and also responding to questions. And certainly want to thank Virginia Simmons for her assistance in providing those specific, or responding to those specific grants management questions as well. And want to thank all of you, all of our recipients, as well as healthcare coalitions and others for joining us today. Hopefully we have provided you with a little bit more additional clarification regarding the requirements. If you have any additional questions about the application process, please don't hesitate to reach out to your field project officer for any programmatic questions, and certainly reach out to your assigned grants management specialist for any questions that are specific to grants management. But well, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and conclude today's webinar. As I said, please feel free to reach out with any additional questions. As Megan stated at the top of the meeting, we will be providing the transcript, the link to the webinar, as well as the slides following this meeting, once we clean the transcript and the recording and get it posted. But we will be sharing that link with all of you. But again, thanks everyone for joining today, and we hope that you have a great day. Thank you.